Blog Talk Radio.
Teacher, fuck student, fuck hooker. Keith Jones was a slightly overweight 40-something American teaching conversational English at a small college in China. The college was located in a rural area about an hour away from the closest city. There wasn't a lot to do at the college, and buses to the city were few and far between. Like pretty much all his colleagues, Keith was bored and lonely. Nearly the entire foreign teaching staff at the college was male, and the few female foreign teachers were painfully unattractive. The Chinese teachers, most of which were female, wanted nothing to do with their foreign counterparts, and most didn't speak English anyway. Keith tried hitting on some of his students, as some of his students had been dating, as some of his colleagues had been dating their students, but he didn't have any luck. He tried going into the city and picking up, but his lack of Chinese and all the women he met's lack of English caused him to have no success there either. Fed up and not having had sex in almost a year, he turned to prostitution, but all the hookers he found in the city were too expensive. So he asked around to his colleagues and found out about a place in the nearby village underneath a highway bridge where some hookers lived and would have sex for only about $15. However, he was warned that the hookers there were way past their prime. In fact, he was told most were pushing at least 50 and were fat and ugly and appeared to be in quite ill health. But Keith didn't care. Sure, he wanted better, but was tired of his hand and decided desperate times call for desperate measures. So he biked down to the village one drizzly afternoon and happened upon the bridge he'd been told about. Under it were four women standing around in a litter-filled street in front of a row of dilapidated shacks. The closer he got, the worse they looked. All were probably pushing 50, flabby, and all had terrible skin and overall unhealthy appearances. He'd not paid for sex before and figured that if he would, it'd at least be for someone attractive. But the thought of again going home to his hand pushed him to keep going, and he rode his bike up to the hookers, picked out the least unattractive of the lot, and followed her back to her shack. Inside her shack, there was only a single bed, an old TV, and a bucket of water on the floor. The whole place smelled like shit and looked filthy. Even the tiny bathroom in the back, consisting of just a showerhead and a squat toilet, looked dirty as fuck. He paid the hooker, and she pulled off her shirt, revealing dangerously low-hanging boobs with large purplish nipples. She then peeled off her pants and granny panties, and out came her pussy, which was jungle hairy and stunk royally. Keith undid his pants and whipped out his cock, but wasn't turned on at all. His cock fell limp into the cold air of the room. He closed his eyes and stroked it, trying to think of his 18-year-old students, Megan Fox, porn, whatever he could, but it was to no avail. The hooker grabbed onto his cock and started to wank him with her clammy hand. Not getting any reaction, she squirted some lube onto him and tried again. Keith did his best to think of anything other than this nasty whore and her disgusting shack, but he just wasn't feeling anything and just couldn't get horny at all. The hooker continued whacking him for about a minute, finally giving him a semi, and mere seconds after that, he prematurely ejaculated into her hand. Disappointed in himself, he did up his pants and got the hell out of there, not even looking at the hooker or saying goodbye. He went back to his apartment at school and wanked off later that night to a picture he snuck from his cell phone of one of his students bending over a desk in her short skirt. Suddenly, an idea popped into his mind. The next day, he biked back to the bridge, this time carrying his rucksack. He saw the same hooker, but instead chose another who looked even older and less attractive, though still was better than the other two there. The hooker took him into her shack, and after Keith paid her, he turned her around, bent her over, and rolled up her skirt. Then he took out a printed copy of that picture of his favorite student in her short skirt and taped it onto the hooker's back. He broke out his cock and quickly stroked himself hard and, in the heat of the moment, neglected to put a condom on before pulling down the hooker's shit-stained thong and plunging himself into her somewhat dry but surprisingly tight and warm pussy. He stared down at the picture as he fucked the hooker angrily, and she moaned and cried and was shouting out something in Chinese that he couldn't understand. Ignoring her, he pretended he was fucking his student in their classroom underneath that tight little skirt, her cute pink panties all hanging around her ankles. About 2 or 3 minutes later, he came in heavy gushes. He took out his cock and instantly felt sick as he saw his spunk dripping out of the hooker's old hairy cunt. He ran into the bathroom and washed his dick with the shower head. The hooker, still with the picture taped to her back, was frantically wiping at her pussy with a towel and screaming at him in Chinese. She sounded rather pissed. Keith zipped up his pants, ran out the door, got on his bike, and rode back to his apartment. It was only a week later that the rash around his genital region broke out, followed by a painful burn in a most unfortunate location.
Prepare yourself for the ultimate battle. Galaxy of Terror. Hell has just been relocated. It orbits a burned out star at the edge of the galaxy.
They're out there.
It's been waiting a billion years to scare you to death. Trapped in a living maze of terror.
What the odds of us getting out of here?
What are the odds?
Friended astronauts Edward Alpert and Aaron Moran battle hordes of hideous shadow demons. Encounter the razor-sharp living glass. Brave the pit of doomed souls. Just to discover the only way out is death.
What? got a date with Destiny tonight. Whether that is a syphilitic encounter in the galaxy of Terror, or whether that is a pussy oasis, you found yourself in the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, which is close to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro, and of course with me tonight is the chief operator of the meth lab. Of course, you guys may have heard our show last week, Mr. Nwamba Flamingo. Nwamba, welcome.
Hola, amigo. ¿Qué pasa?
Fucking A, man. Glad you're here, bro. That was actually Simmerip with Must Catch a Train, and I believe me and you were talking last week about the definition of skinheads. And those guys are straight-up skinheads, but not the fascist skinheads that everybody thinks of whenever they think of the definition.
Yeah, skinheads come in all different types.
Yep.
There are lots of different types of skinheads, and a lot of people don't realize that. And I think it's very unfortunate that the fascist asshole kind of skinheads are what everybody thinks about when they think of skinheads. But I guess they're the most loud of that group, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely hear you, sir. And you know what? We're going to raise our glasses to every skinhead out there that isn't a fascist and that just enjoys ska. You guys kick ass, and Simmerip is a clear example of that. So you guys will probably hear more of them on some future shows and what have you. Damn, dude. We got a lot of great stuff to play tonight, of course. We've got Riz Ortolani. We've got Royksop. We also have Gianfranco Planizio. Some other stuff as well. So, yeah. Fuck it, man. Let's just jump into this shit. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. Coming up first. Hey. Yeah. I think what we're going to do first, I'm going to go with The Whitest Boy Alive. This song is entitled I'm Done With You. Right here on Draconian Vampire Tunnel is Close to Repairs. Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808.
there and said, "Hungry," and opened my mouth helplessly like a baby bird, as if I was not quite old enough to pour the milk into my cereal by myself. I'm not sure if I would starve to death before you whacked me with a stick out of the nest, as if I were the pigeon upstairs that waits to shit on us as we walk out the door. I imagine that if any of this were true, my eulogy would be read by the alcoholic maintenance man who also gave me my last rites before discarding me in a dumpster.
And that was The Whitest Boy Alive with Done With You. Really great track there. I dig the fuck out of that. What do you think about that, Nwamba? You know many... Do you know The Whitest Boy Alive, Nwamba?
I don't, actually. I don't. I've met a couple of people that were really white, but, you know, like, they're really albino. A couple albinos before, so there's some really white people I knew. But I didn't know that band. Cool band. I like the bass line of that, especially. Really,
oh, yeah, dude, the bass was fucking kicking on that motherfucking song, dude. I love that track. Not many lyrics to that, and I think we got kind of a fine appreciation for instrumental music here. Draconian Vampire Tunnel, but damn, yeah, it's good ears, sir. Definitely a good bass line.
Yeah, really cool track. It kind of reminded me a little bit of The Doors.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, kind of a Doors kind of vibe to it.
I can see that.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of L.A. Woman.
Ooh, good point. Good point, sir. Very good point. Love that track, actually. L.A. Woman, we might have to bring that one to the tunnel. I try not to play too many, like, mainstream songs, but I think I might have to make an exception for that one. Excellent point, sir. Since you are on the program, and, you know, you and myself have been discussing this at a little bit of an extent here, I do want to put that out there to the listeners that myself and Nwamba are in the progress of planning a sort of a mini interview with Matthias Nelson. Maybe you guys have heard of him, maybe you haven't. But he has a book coming out by New York Quarterly pretty soon. What's the title of that book there, Nwamba?
I believe it's Dip the Pacifier in My Whiskey or something.
Yeah.
Like Dip the Pacifier in My Whiskey. Very cool title.
Yeah, really good title. And excellent cover, actually, too. So, if you guys are not familiar with Matthias Nelson at this point, Jesus, like, where you been? That guy's, like, pretty fucking hardcore. So, dig his shit. But, yeah, we're going to have him on a future episode of the Meth Lab radio pretty soon. So, you guys look out for that. In the meantime, Nwamba, I want to introduce you to a little band by the name of Arrowvane. The name of this song is Instant Gods Out of the Box. I was wondering, sir, just before I play this, if you happen to have something to share with us after the song, is that possible?
I might just have something.
Right on, man. Fucking A. Well, let's jump into this. Coming up next. Right here, Draconian Vampire Tunnel. This is Arrowvane, Instant Gods, Out of the Box.
Thank you.
writing poetry about death. Fuck Robert Frost. When I go, I want it to be dark. But I wouldn't mind if there were angels or if God gave me a fatherly slap on the back. I wouldn't mind if after hearing that I had tried to be the most blasphemous son of a bitch on earth, he said, "Me too," and high-fived me like some drunken frat boy after a football game. I want to be forgotten when I go, but I wouldn't mind if you put this on a billboard with my name on it.
And that was Errol Vane with Instant Gods, Out of the Box. Very melancholy song, and I don't know, whenever I think of Instant Gods, Out of the Box, it doesn't necessarily invoke a melancholy tone. However, there are gods that are malevolent, and there are gods that are benevolent. And I guess that would be a benevolent god, perhaps, or gods. Maybe the plural. Not sure. You be the judge. Nuwamba, we actually got a phone call, sir. We got a caller. What do you think? We should bring him in?
Yeah, maybe is it a person, or is it maybe a prank caller?
It could be a prank caller. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of hoping it is a prank caller. I love those guys. Really do.
Yeah, let's bring them on.
720, you're live.
Well, now I feel bad because I'm not a prank caller.
Oh, shit.
Dustin.
You are a prank caller, Dustin Holland. You know you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome, sir. Welcome. I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everybody, all the listeners out there, this is Dustin Holland, of course, chief editor of Guerrilla Pamphlets, which is about to put out its very last issue. And, dude, I got to be honest with you. I'm really sad to hear that, but I know that you got some...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know you got some great stuff on the horizon, so I know we haven't seen the last of you.
Well, yeah, the issue will be cool. I feel bad. Like, I keep telling people it's going to be out on Friday, but it's got, like, 80 unread submissions, and it's just one of me. And I don't... doing the editing and shit. But who knows? It's long, man. It's 25 pages already. But
Jesus.
So that's exciting. Yeah, no, it's, like, if I knew I was going to get all these great submissions by quitting, I would have, like, done it a long time ago. Because it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Dustin, of course, has got a new book out by Kenev Books, which there will be a review in the next issue of Red Feds coming out very soon on the 13th. But Dustin has a new book out called Duck Walking is the Only Way Out of Armageddon. Can you tell us a little bit about that, sir?
Well, it's a book I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It's out to Kenev Books, which is an imprint of Desperanto, and it's pretty cool. They're nice people over there, and they were kind enough to put this book together that I wrote over the last 2 years, I guess. And then so I sent it to them, and they put it out, and it's poems.
Oh no, dude, don't be modest, man. Let me go ahead and tell everybody this book. And I've had the pleasure of reading it several times now. This book is literally something new that you guys have never seen before, as far as poetry, as far as structure, as far as language, as far as concepts. It's something completely new. It's something original. And I'm going to tip my fucking hat to you, sir. Because being
Thank
the
you.
Age that you are, man, I got to tell you, being the age that you are, the shit amazes me that you can write at the level that you're writing at right now. So.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate it.
No, man.
So, have you really read it more than once? Because I've only read it, like, twice.
Dude, I've read it, like, five times.
I've only read the fucking thing, like, again, twice, maybe. I guess three times if you count the times I wrote it, but still. God.
You should read it more, sir. I'm telling you, like, this shit is mind-blowing, and you know what? It happens to be holding a very special place, not only my heart, but, Lindsay's heart, and everybody else that actually comes across this book, man. I'm telling you, like, this book right now, Duck Walking is the Only Way Out of Armageddon, you guys definitely need to get a hold of this because it's the prototype of the future, in my personal opinion.
Well, thank you. And yeah, people should buy it because it'd be neat.
Can you let everybody know where they can go to purchase that, sir?
Yeah, so it's on Amazon, and you can just, like, type in Duck Walking is the Only Way Out of Armageddon. And then you can also get it directly from Desperanto on their store. And their website is Desperanto.com. And then, you know, there's probably a different URL for their shop, but it's like the second link from their main page or whatever. So
nice.
It's fairly easy to get to, or at least I haven't struggled with it too much.
I don't think you struggle with anything too much, I gotta be honest with you.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Yeah. No, I'm just speaking the truth, sister. I'm just speaking the truth.
Well, thank you.
As a matter of fact, if you would hold on for one moment and actually find a couple selections from the book for us, I'd be more than happy to let you take the stage and, of course, read some of that. Of course, first off, I did want to go ahead because I actually have Wamba. Since you are on the line, I don't know if you've ever met Wamba, but he is...
I don't think I have.
Yeah. Wamba?
No, I don't think I met him either.
Yeah. You guys should meet.
Hello.
Well, hello, Nuamba. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for not being a prank caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if I'd known that you guys didn't mind prank callers, I would have, you know, prank called you before this.
Yeah, we encourage that. We encourage that kind of
thing. Yeah, you can do that. Well, yeah, you can do
yeah,
that.
Maybe next time it won't be a real call. I'll be much less genuine, and I'll just prank.
I don't know, man. That seems like a far stretch for you not being genuine, sir. I don't know. It's just my opinion, but
I would genuinely prank call you.
Oh, okay.
I'd be sincere. It'd just be a lie.
Yeah, like somebody cool, because like so many of our prank calls are bad. Like, if we could get a good prank call, we'd be very happy.
Yeah, no, I would prepare for a prank call. I'd, like, study and research.
Yeah.
You
got to do your fact-checking with prank calling. Got to do your fact-checking with prank calling. Definitely.
Definitely. I would not have, like, an incorrect or, like, poorly researched prank call.
I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh, yeah. Dustin, I tell you what, man, just hang out on the line with us for a minute. I definitely want to hear, can science get damp? I definitely want to hear that poem.
Okay.
And I know that my wife, Lindsay, wants to hear that poem as well. Lindsay is very excited about hearing you read that. But first, Wamba, what do you got for us, bro?
You know, I actually have one that was inspired by a picture I saw on Facebook. And I've got to read it. It's called Casey Jones and the Naked Hippie. The hippie and I walked briskly out of the movie theater into the moonlit parking lot. Sirens blared as a cavalcade of cop cars, ambulances, fire engines, and media vehicles descended onto the scene. A SWAT team rushed by us in single file. We arrived to an empty parking space. Some son of a bitch stole my van, the hippie shouted, his Mississippi drawl barely audible over the sirens. What? I shouted back, more out of surprise than not being able to hear him, because I did hear him. The van, it's gone. I had all my gear in it, the hippie screamed, this time even louder. I realized by gear he didn't just mean his favorite electric guitar. He meant more his book of acid sheets and tub of homegrown. The hippie stared down at the ground in disbelief for a good few seconds. His long, curly red hair and bushy red beard blew around in the wind, which seemed to be picking up. Over there, he pointed across the street to a dimly lit public park. He slung the acoustic guitar he'd been carrying over his shoulder and ran across the intersection through oncoming traffic into the park's direction. Cars honked and swerved out of his way. I waited for the stoplight and followed him. off in the distance from the movie theater's parking lot, I could hear gunshots. The hippie stopped and stood in the sidewalk in front of the park, put down his guitar, and tore off all his clothes. His tall, obese frame was covered in red body hair. His skin was pale as a ghost, and he had a protruding beer belly that hung so low it obscured his privates. Nearby pedestrians who'd been rubbernecking at the scene across the street shrieked and scampered in terror upon sight of him. Picking up his guitar, he strummed and sung Casey Jones horribly out of tune for about a minute, then took off running into the park. I again followed him. I heard someone from the park yelling, "Fuck you," over and over. The farther we ran into the park, the louder the yelling got. We ran into a forested area. It was dark. I could barely see anything except the hippie's red mane and pale, flabby ass between the trees fading into the distance. Finally, we got to a steep hill, and the "fuck you" yelling was now deafeningly loud. The hippie ran up the hill way faster than someone his size should, hurtled over a thicket of bushes, and disappeared into the night. Just after he disappeared, the yelling ceased. I took a few steps back, but stopped when I bumped into something large, warm, and hairy. It was the hippie. He was behind me and still naked and had a flashlight in one hand and his acoustic guitar in the other. He shined the flashlight into his face, under his chin, and stuck out his tongue. On it was several hits of acid. He then withdrew his tongue, shut his mouth, made a gulping sound, and smiled. Then he shined the flashlight to his left. Another hippie was there, who looked sort of like him. Red hair, tall, obese, but with a shorter haircut and a goatee instead of a bushy beard. The other hippie wore two garbage bags as clothes and had plastic shopping bags tied around his feet. The garbage bag hippie began to yell, "Fuck you," at the naked hippie. Then the naked hippie threw the flashlight at him and proceeded to beat him over the head with the acoustic guitar. The guitar hummed as it broke over his head. After it completely split apart, the naked hippie bludgeoned him with the fretboard and stabbed him in the throat a couple times with it too. And soon enough, the garbage bag hippie looked pretty well dead. Halting his assault, he turned to me. "I know who stole my van," he said, pointing up to the hill, the top of which now appeared to be on fire. "I know who stole my van," he repeated, and he ran back up the hill into the spreading fire, singing Casey Jones and waving his bloody fretboard triumphantly in the air.
God damn. You know, man, like, I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan, and my favorite character in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is Casey Jones, and I never actually thought of him as a garbage bag hippie, man. Jesus Christ. I don't know.
Casey Jones was just like, yeah, I never thought of him as a garbage bag hippie, but
yeah.
That's a cool image.
Hell yeah. You know that Casey
you
Jones?
Know, that was
Dustin Holland, you
no,
know
no,
that?
That was...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That shit was inspired by Yossarian Hunter, I gotta admit, man. Cause I saw him with a picture of him with his tongue out with a bunch of hits of acid on it. And
oh,
for some reason,
that
inspired
picture.
That.
Yeah, I saw
yeah,
that.
So,
I was jealous as fuck of that picture, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I saw him with
yeah.
the hits of acid on his tongue. I was like, "You motherfucker!" Like.
Yeah, and that picture somehow inspired that, so I don't know where it came from, but really that was me kind of imagining being with Yossarian Hunter and him stripping down naked and attacking somebody with an acoustic guitar after taking acid, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dustin, you're old enough to know about Casey Jones and Ninja Turtles and whatnot?
Well, I'm probably not, well, like, I've got an older brother, so he got me into
okay.
that shit, but...
Uh-oh.
They did, like, a new version of, like, there's a cartoon now, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but it's awful. But, yeah,
really?
No, I, like, yeah, my older brother showed me, like, when I was little, he'd show me, watch, like, those, like, goofy-ass Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies and read the comic books and stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I love the comics. I think they were actually put out by, I want to say, Dark Horse Comics? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Dark Horse or Vertigo.
Yeah. Good shit, man. Fucking A, man. Dustin, you're wise beyond your years, sir.
Oh,
and,
well, thank you.
Yeah.
You're wise beyond your years. Actually, I don't know how old you are, so you're probably, you're either wise beyond your years or wise, like, in proportion, you were, like, adequately wise. In
I'm a fucking geezer, bro. I'm a geezer. Oh, man. Oh, I appreciate that, sir. I appreciate that, definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate it as well.
Oh, well. See what? Go ahead and pull out that Can Science Get Damp poem and get that one up and ready. And I'm going to play this song for you guys, actually, for the two of you, because I appreciate the fuck out of both of you, and I'm glad you guys are here. This is the Chi Lights. Of course, you guys may have heard of the Chi Lights. They're a very soulful group. I love the Chi Lights. And this is a song called Toby. It's about being a kid, since we're talking about being a kid. The Chi Lights. Toby, right here, Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed for repairs. Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808. Brian Fugier and Lynn Alexander in the chat room. I see you. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Mike. This is your Project U news feed for, let's say, August 7th and the 8th of 2012, brought to you, of course, by The Literary Underground. Of course, you guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your Draconian Vampire Tunnel information, as well as information about your mother's medicine cabinet and Project U Radio. Hopefully they'll come back and we can talk more about them. Today's news feed, of course, is about Tim Murray's new book, Dinosaur Ditch, brought to you by Citizens for Decent Literature Press. You guys can go, like I said, go to Literary Underground, and you can find all the information about how to order that. Very good book, I have to say, and very impressed. I actually wanted to share a little poem by Tim Murray that I was tagged in today on Facebook, and apparently he wrote this after he was given a joint by myself and Michael Grover. The title of this poem is called Walk, Walk the Walkin'. Lash sort of way the fizz I am, the fizz, an amazing fizz, made of matter and the making of matter. I am heaven just as sure as you are moss in the rain, and I am not a giant. I am not a giant. I am the son of Willie McCovey. I am armed with spiders. I am armed with San Diego Padres. I am made of batter soil liquor. Lick my seed when sprouts does grow. Yeah, real heavy ass like donkey mule Mike stand in the way stand in the rain, because I saw the spider ship arriving. I am not the electromagnetic superwave. I am here. I am staying. I am Wayne made of macaroni and knee-high rubber boots, spools, whale dolphin their way through seared spikes. I am the army. I am Stan. I am the man. Stop. Which way you walk in the oven? No, in that onion stupid with shoppers, paddles, making lions. I am made of umbrella stems. I am dancing in the red rivers. No, wait, not rivers, but emergence. Emergency ball lines. No baselines. No baselines emerging now from beneath the spiral stack. I am Dizzy Von Trout. I am visiting Soylent Green. I am Sunday. I am rising. I am La Raza. I am not. I am not. I am dough bread rising, I am fork and tongue and spiral and turducken, waste walls and watch the magnetic pessimism. We wait on rock ledge, legend, and they walk and they talk, and I am in the next dimension. No, I am waiting for the emergence of the next dimension when I am el fuero, I am the neck, I am the legion of spiders crawling across the floor of the desert. They know, hello, I am beard, I am the beginning, I am the begging epic. I am not now, I am here forever. I am made in season, I am cake in the yakking season. Will you now allow the destruction of period, of pronod, of prenodal, of paying attention, paid attention? I am broad, I am spectrum. Real fine shit you got here, Frankie, like Jackie Gleason, finding some wine, finding some Reese's, same as the sunburned bulb, right? I am beginning, I am begging for a way to extract bacon, taken home, rise a bone, lanky dance, sweater blonder, hair hooked over the eye. I hear a children cry that wail, no drums, now blade, now broken. I keep wanting to spell nonsense words, but I get tired of the computer screen, red squiggly line mines. It's not your best one. They are Vermilion. They are Sliger. They are bitten to how do you feel when the bride is all over. The wall slight pause under the trance of Le Brest and A minor. I am the bent. I am the taken over freight train, freight car. Each one is to blame for the radio static coming over 10 cars, one hop afraid. They will spoke of him, the daily city bus beneath Canal Street, Chicago in the mud. I am Bass's river. I am paddle boats. I am bent smoke like smoke rising in the way. Are there so many itches in my scalp when I get to get jail, a pale male overnight hell because he sniffs coke, another soda pop. She is a dragon. Love you like a lizard. I am blue. I am Oriole. I am Oreo. I am Tang. I was made to smoke a giant mountain slope, whale high, the dead man's goat will try to be a bitter dry poison water, whale want, pinpoint the holy grail beneath your index nail. I am spoons. I am spoiled. I am water legs. I am male torme. I am a way to be awake, a choice, a nervous me, nervous me. That's Tim Murray, actually. I fucking dig that goddamn poem. Woo! Jesus Christ. Makes you want to goddamn testify, man. Shit. Woo! So sorry, guys. I had to go off on a little tangent there.
No, that's a good song, man.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Well, thanks, Tim Murray, for, like,
yeah,
fucking tagging me in that. That's a goddamn good-ass poem. Fuck, man. Dustin Hollins. Can science get damp, sir?
I don't know, but here's this poem. Can science get damp on Tuesday afternoons while we practice our second languages in the dark room and modern-day Robin Hoods dance in burger joints? Should we let our geometry dry, or will these overexposed pictures of our rebellion burn up in the atmosphere? The new flower tattoo still bleeds a little on her arm, immortal, never wilting.
I love that poem, sir, and I know that you had mentioned the reason behind that poem. Can you share with your listeners how that poem actually came about, sir?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, like, my mom's birthday a while ago. I was in, like, sophomore year, so this was a couple years ago. And she got, like, a tattoo for her birthday as, like, a present for herself. And I thought it was
nice.
Pretty cool. It's, like, this beautiful flower on her forearm. And so, I don't know. I was, like, between that and just, like, all sorts of high school shit.
Hell yeah.
Kind of just everything, but, you know, like classrooms and nonsense. And then mom's tattoo just sort of put it all together or whatever. So.
Yeah. You know, my mom, whenever, I wish my mom was that cool. Whenever I first showed her my first tattoo, she tried to scrub it off with a Brillo pad.
Yeah, no, mom's got like 3 tattoos, and then she tells me that I can't get any until I'm 40.
Ow!
But she doesn't mind my brother's tattoos, so I think I can get away with it.
Hey, right on. Well, I hope you get away with it, sir. And
yeah.
I appreciate you bringing that poem. Definitely, sir.
Yeah, thanks for letting me read it. I appreciate it.
No problem. One more time, can you let everybody know where they can buy Duck Walking is the Only Way Out of Armageddon?
Yeah, you can pick it up at Amazon.com or Desperanto.com.
Nay.
I think you can get it at Barnes & Noble's website.
Oh, look, Barnes & Noble, this motherfucking kid. Guys, look out for Dustin Hollins. He is an up-and-comer. He's going to be in your face a whole hell of a lot in the near future, I can already tell. So definitely keep an eye out for him. Whew. Thanks for coming by, man. Hang out with us for a minute, dude. Don't go anywhere.
All right, yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I'm bringing in, Nuwamba, I think that you know this person. And I'm bringing in our chief editor of Tainted Coffee Press, Zygote in My Coffee, Mr. Brian 2T's Puget. Welcome, Brian.
Brian. All the poetry on here is so pretty.
I'm sorry, what, sir? Sebastian?
Keep saying the pretty word. Keep saying the pretty word, guys, faster. Say the pretty word faster, you guys. All the poetry on here is so pretty. Who's that fellow with the funny accent? You know.
Which funny accent?
Oh, there's one guy who reads a lot of poetry on here. He seems to be your sidekick. He has a funny accent.
Who's got the funny accent? Are you still clapping, sir?
I'm not clapping.
What is that sound?
I don't think we want to know.
Something wrong with the phone.
This motherfucker is jerking on the phone right now.
I have my webcam on. And no diaper.
Are you naked?
Please keep saying the pretty poetry. Keep saying the pretty words. You have the funny accent. You know.
You
have
kind of a funny accent, actually. I think your accent's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucker, you weren't supposed to say my name. I know you recognize my 937 area code.
I was trying to say your name because I wanted to give you props, but that sound, I think, is enough. Jesus.
Well, okay. I mean, it's sweet.
Take it easy on that. Ryan,
explode
please.
Here live on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
But been enjoying the show, guys. Been enjoying the show. I just had to call in and let you guys in on my little masturbation session there.
Well,
I was going to tell you, sir, I think you're a little bit rough on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think you're being a little rough.
Yeah, that's
not bad. Nwamba, seriously, though, your accent, man, where exactly is that accent from? I love it. No, I'm being curious, man. Where are you originally from?
I don't know exactly, because I've lived in so many places that it's like a combination of many things.
You have a very distinct accent. I love it. Just seriously. I don't mean that in a gay way or anything, but it's really different.
You totally mean it in a gay way. You totally mean it in a gay way.
In a homosexual way. Like a Chick-fil-A. What's this whole Chick-fil-A thing? You know, I don't get this shit. I mean, what is it, you know?
Chick-fil-A?
They have chicken sandwiches anyways. And yeah, they're not even open on Sundays. Fuck them. You know, I don't eat at any restaurant that's not open on Sunday. Shit.
Where do you eat at on Sundays, Brian Fuget?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Thing is, I just drink a gallon of vodka and eat like maybe a half a piece of toast, and that's about it, and I'm good.
Wow.
And that's it. Yeah.
That's the Russian diet right there. That's a Russian diet. Are you Russian?
Well, actually, I'm actually more German than I am Russian. But close enough, yeah. You know, what's crazy is I actually lost 5.5 pounds when I was out in Berkeley for the whole big poetry reading thing. So I pretty much subsisted on wheat, toast, and vodka daily. And we probably walked 10 million miles while we were out there, didn't we, Metro?
Yes, we did, actually. And I was going to say, you had the most wicked case of vodka shits I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
I was shaking, and I was shitting, and I was dry heaving, and everything else, man.
Hell yeah. I remember I was awoken one morning, Nwamba. I was actually awoken one morning by the sound of... in the bathroom right next to the room there.
That's a fuck of a wake-up call. Right?
Well, you know, the thing is, I was dry heaving because I had nothing in my stomach. I had nothing to puke up, so it was just like I was puking air, literally. But, you know, it was great times out there, and you know what? I can't wait to do it in New Mexico.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're coming to you're coming to the Mockpocalypse reading in New Mexico, correct, sir?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. Like, all kinds of fun stuff to read, and all kinds of fun stuff to do. And
indeed. There will be many pancake breakfasts, sir. Many pancake breakfasts.
Pancake
we like
breakfast?
To do that. Yes, breakfasts, as in the plural.
Oh, man, I can't eat cakes for breakfast, man.
Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee, I can handle that.
Fucking A, man. Oh, I'm glad you're on here, Brian Fuget. I tell you what, why don't you hang out with us for a minute, and I'm going to play this next song for you and your vodka shit, sir. How about that?
Amen, brother.
Right on. Right on. Sure. All right, well, this one is for Brian Fuget and his vodka shit. This is Roiksop, and the name of this is Remind Me. How apropos. Right here on Draconian Vampire Tunnel, East Coast Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Hey, yeah, we'll be right back.
Russia.
acrylic flowers choking in smog, drowning in acid rain, shrieking and squirming as the lawnmower gets closer. Staring into a room full of mirrors with a head like a cardboard box. Handle with care, this side up, scrawled on the side of the house, full of kids without food or doctors, for lack of cash, shaken and broken by earthquake bombshells, snapped around by clergy and airport security, and then forgotten by the rest. Kilroy is here, peering over his brick wall, watching more and more ghosts get born and baptized in global firestorms, just like the last time. A lopsided star leans back into the void, sitting with the VHS of an Italian opera, and tries to blink away the last 5 minutes. And it's hard to play the fiddle while the world burns around you, sitting under a red moon in apocalypse gardens with nothing to read. Now build soapbox fortresses in the middle of town and clog the streets with pamphlets against misery, or hide out in some desert near some last-ditch effort Trojan horse until healthy enough to act loudly with a new kind of heartbeat and fists raised and drawn on desks and sidewalks and mourning and memoriam for millions of names etched into empty brick walls full of half-read holy books. Kilroy is here in the house of the magician, watching the same car disappear for days while southern bourgeois fascists pretend to be the people. They're pro-war, capitalist, xenophobic agendas point in the other direction, despite the geriatric TV man's best efforts.
Italian for transvestite, sir?
I don't know. I don't speak any Italian, actually. I only know a couple words in Italian, even though I've been to Italy.
I did not pick up any Italian there.
Mm. We were actually, we just has recently had a guest that was staying here that was from Italy, and, you know, she happened to find out that I knew a little Italian, like, I know a few Dante Alighieri phrases, like, Bene ascolta, ci la nota, which means well heeded is well heard, and she actually taught me a couple of phrases, like, buongiorno, principessa, good morning, princess. And she told me to say that to my lady, and you know what? I got to say, that actually worked. Thanks a lot, lady.
Well, you could also say, buona sera. That means good evening.
Ooh, buona sera. Buona sera. Yeah. Very good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Really do. Brian Fuget, I know that you mentioned in the chat room that Tainted Coffee Press is overloaded with soggy sock anthologies, as you aptly put it, sir. Can you let us know a little bit more about that?
Oh, ain't no soggy nothing in Tainted Coffee Press, but I gotta tell you, I don't speak no Italian, but I do speak Mexican. I do speak Mexican sometimes, and goddamn, I'm good at it.
You speak Mexican?
Speak some Mexican for us, then. Some Mexican. I want to hear what Mexican sounds like.
Please.
All right. God damn it. Let me get prepped here. La voz de la señorita está en la iglesia. And this is the translation. Translation is, the lady's bag is in the church.
Thank you
very much. In fucking
poem. That's poetry right there. That's beautiful.
It is
poetry.
I
can find poetry everywhere. You know, give me like a cereal box or a goddamn box of macaroni and cheese, man, and I can turn it into poetry. I can even turn it into Mexican poetry.
I think you should write some more Mexican poetry, to be honest with you, sir. I have to say.
We all know.
We should do a whole issue of that. A whole issue of Zago. Just like.
Good idea.
Fucking awesome.
You gotta understand, I already have like 13 chapbooks published, and they're all in Mexican. That's why you guys ain't heard of them, because they're down in Mexico and shit. I'm pretty big down in Mexico.
Like an international star.
Hell yeah.
International? No, just big in Mexico. That's it.
That's it? Just Mexico? Is it in Juarez, or would that be in Oaxaca?
Just like Tom Waits said that song, I'm big in Japan, man. I'm big in Mexico. You know?
Do you have it like spread to like Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador?
I'm hoping, but you know, the goddamn Amtrak doesn't go all the way down to Central America and South America, so you know, and I'm too much of a pussy to fly, so. But if the Amtrak went down there, I'd go on tour. Goddamn,
yeah.
You know, give all my fans what they really want.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there for all of our Mexicano listeners out there. If you happen to run across in chapbook that is published by Tainted Coffee Press, you would like to meet the publisher, Tainted Coffee Press, please come to Nuevo Mexico, November 3rd, 2012, and November 4th, 2012, and please feel free to meet Brian Huget.
Well, that's right, and I will be handing out free water balloons to anyone who wants to pelt me while I try to read my poetry.
Nice.
Hope I don't get electrocuted by the microphone while it happens.
I got to be honest with you, Brian, after all the poems that I've been putting up on street lamps and stop signs and what have you, you might want to be wearing a flak jacket when you come here, bro.
Oh, I know, dude. All them goddamn Christians. I've been getting death threats already from Christians, you know.
Yep.
Christians hate me.
I hate you, bro.
So do some Mormons. So do Mormons. I don't know why. I have nothing against Mormons, you know.
Fucking
hate. Lord.
Well, you know what, dude? I'm going to play this song for the Mormons, actually, that are Painted Copy Press fans. I'm going to play this for all the Mormons out there. The name of this song is We Can Make the World Stop, and it's by the Glitch Mob. Right here on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed to repairs. Number to call in, which is pretty much useless right now since we're in after hours. Fuck it. 805-856-2808. Call in next week. Fuck it. Glitch Mob.
That's
we
right.
can make the world stop. We'll be right back.
At the Albuquerque Genealogy Center at the main library. At least half of them didn't speak Spanish anymore, and most of them didn't care where they came from. Besides, there were issues of questionable paternity and secret adoptions that only muddled the big picture. Spain wasn't that far from France or Italy. Europe is small and everything is relative. It's a 12-hour drive from Rome to Barcelona or between Albuquerque and Los Angeles. Either way, a lot of things can happen on a 12-hour drive or roughly a 71-hour bicycle trip and a 261-hour walk or 10 days of nonstop walking. A stroll that would only take a couple of months and then maybe half that by horseback.
I've not heard of.
Nice.
A lot of very, you know, lesser known groups and, you know, stuff that, you know, I've never heard of. I've quite dug, so I really like listening to these shows that I've heard. And, you know, where do you find this shit? I wanted to ask you, where do you find a lot of this shit?
You know, to be honest with you, living in the hostel, you run across a lot of people with great taste. But that's definitely not where we get the majority of our music. It's not the people with great taste here. You know, you go to a lot of places, like, man, I got to be honest with you, there's a lot of search engines out there that you type in one band, you come across another. You type in that band, you come across another. I also run across a lot of bands on music soundtracks, or movie soundtracks, I'm sorry. And Pandora. I got to give mad credit to Pandora, man. They fucking have...
Yeah, Pandora fucking rocks. I really like Pandora. Yeah.
I love Pandora, bro. Fucking love that shit.
I don't know. I don't have a long enough attention span for Pandora. I always get, like, bored.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I always, like, flip through it too fast because I don't listen to the songs, and then I'll get stuck looking for bands that I recognize, which kind of defeats the purpose of Pandora.
Oh, yeah, dude. You gotta, like, you really gotta fucking dig for songs out there. Might I suggest to you, Mr. Dustin Holland, you should check out the Ja Shaka Sound radio station on Pandora. That will open up your brain.
All right. I will do that.
Yeah, Ja Shaka
Sound.
Okay.
Ja
Shaka Sound. Brian Pugé.
Check that out. Thank you.
Brian Pugé, I'm assuming that... What do you listen to on your Pandora station, sir?
What do I listen to? What?
Pandora.
Shut up, everybody.
Yeah, Pandora Radio. Do you listen to Pandora Radio?
Pandora? No, not so much. I usually listen to ABBA.
Oh.
I listen to a lot of ABBA. And, Oh, gosh, BG and stuff. I mean, I was born in 72, dude. You gotta understand, you know, the fucking disco era and shit.
Yeah.
So, you guys laughing at me, goddammit? You laughing at me?
No!
Yeah, I am, actually.
Not that fucker with the cool accent laughing at me. No. But shit, you know. I listen to all kinds of music, you know. I'm still old school. I still listen to, like, cassette tapes and, you know, even the occasional CD,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't have the MP3 player or any of that fancy schmancy stuff.
They still make CDs? Are you serious? They still make CDs?
Actually,
oh.
Yes, they do. I am a fan of iHeartRadio. Have you tried that yet? iHeartRadio? You kind of
iHeartRadio?
Radio?
Oh.
Yeah, it's like an online thing, and you can customize your own, like, radio station with, you know, you plug in some of your favorite, like, songs or musicians or whatnot, and you pretty much just play them commercial-free, man. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So,
that's Pandora, man. That's a rip-off of Pandora,
oh.
It sounds like. Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess it's the same thing. See, I never heard of Pandora. For me, it's iHeartRadio.
You need to educate yourself, sir. Yes. Yeah. You know what, Brian Pugé? I'm going to do this one for you, bro. This one's for you and your iHeartRadio. Yeah, this one's for you, sir. This is DJ Vadim. Name of this song is Black as Night. And I hope you enjoy it, sir, in your Depends diapers. We'll be right.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing any diapers.
Yeah.
between the two aren't limited by France in the Sonoran Desert. And the only thing separating Spain from Morocco is a kiss at the Strait of Gibraltar. How does it figure that some of Los Reyes are redheads? A Latin proverb says, proud are the short, untrustworthy are the redheaded. Thus, none of them were invited on the first wave of colonial migration. Seeing a recessive gene, MCIR, made it to the New World anyhow, along with various mutations causing various predispositions to uncommon and taboo sexual practices, celibacy, or hypersexuality and dwarfism. Distant cousins and carriers of who would never suspect as much were related. None of them were Ebonites. Most of them believed in the virgin birth of Jesus, except for some of them, who ran off to the hills and revealed themselves as Sephardic Jews only when it was safe to do so. Even those of them with a stronger trace of Moorish lineage did not face Mecca 5 times daily. Every airline trip resulted in 5 additional screenings by TSA personnel, in spite of their Hispanic surnames. Their features were not often interpreted as possibly Middle Eastern. They eat chorizo and never consider whether or not Jesus possibly survived crucifixion and went on to become a French atheist or even a polygamist. Some have even said Mary Magdalene operated a liberal feminist brothel and became an activist for sex workers' rights. Jesus was sleeping with a good deal of Mary's colleagues. One can only speculate about all of this and whether or not Jesus went on to raise a son with Mary. If only they had all the pieces of the DNA puzzle, you would think that so many rivalries could be buried. Los Reyes, some of the Lees, and some of the NGUYENs of Albuquerque, the ones in jail, and those among them at the tables of the mayor's ball. If you demanded a cheek scraping from everyone in the room at both places, you would find the distance between them was closer than that from Juarez to Albuquerque than from Barcelona to Rome. They might all join arms across the Strait of Gibraltar if they only knew they shared the blood of the Despoyasi and Mohammed. The only one who really knew the truth was a phlebotomist at the Yale Plasma Center who used the bank to gather materials for her rather odd hobby.
And that was Gianfranco Planizio with Grigio Perla. Very good track. I dig the fuck out of that. Very chill. Very, European? I don't know. Italiano? Italiano. Yes, yes. Very good shit. We got about 26 minutes left of the show. Considering the fact that I have 3 different editors of 3 different publications on my program, I kind of want to give everybody the chance to get one last word in. So we're going to start with the virgin of the evening, the Virgin Guadalupe of the evening, Mr. Brian Puget. Brian, do you happen to have do you have something to share with us, sir?
What would you like me to share?
A poem or something.
A poem, huh?
Or the description of your Depends diapers after a vicious vodka shit. I don't know.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. You know what? You know, a lot of people do like to hear. You know the diaper I actually wore during the reading?
Mm-hmm.
Back in San Francisco actually has a home. Are you aware of that?
I am. And you know what? I just want to go ahead and mention that that was a very frothy diaper by the time you were done with it, sir. Very frothy.
I was going to post it on eBay, and the very next day I was hanging out at Paul Coleman Roberts' house, and a certain female inquired about it and asked if I still had it, and sure enough, it was right there in my bag. I did still have it, and so I gave it to her, and she she's infamous for collecting really oddball and weird things. She has a whole collection of all kinds of weird things. You know, I don't want to say her name because I don't want to embarrass her, but
Misty Church.
Yeah.
I'll embarrass.
But yeah, she was.
Hello, Missy
she's,
Church.
She's wild. She's wild, man. And she, honest to God, she wanted it until I gave it to her. I really was gonna like post it on eBay for fun, but anyhow, you know what? If you want me to read something, I just let's see. I got a U.S. Navy war photograph. Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay book I picked up, and I'm going to just randomly open it up and read some captions from some of the pictures or something, or maybe the introduction.
Nice.
And make it into a poem. U.S. Navy war photograph. Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Edward was the foremost photographer of our time. At the age of 63, he was called upon by the U.S. Navy to head their Navy photographic unit in the Pacific. Right after the attack on Pearl Harbor, from then until the Japanese surrender in Tokyo Bay, Captain Edward and his expert staff photographed every aspect of Navy action in the Pacific, even the hand jobs. This book was a selection of shit just after World War II. It sold 6 million copies. And a few hand jobs. This edition contains all the photographs from the original edition, plus many more, including a number taken by Mr. Edward himself in fucking poems. Everything is poetry, man. Everything's art. Everything's poetry.
No, let me go ahead and ask you, sir. I don't believe you that it was only a few hand jobs that were sold after that. I think there were hand jobs sold after that. I got to be honest with you.
Well, damn, you know, you're in the Navy and you're stuck out on the ship for freaking 8 months at a time or whatever, you know. Damn, you know, you take it where you can get it, I reckon. But but the thing is now with the modern Navy, you know, you got chicks in there too. So I'm sure the chicks, there's always, you know, at least a good 20, 30 of them on the ship. I bet they're very popular nowadays. And you know, I don't mean to demean our military or anything, because, you know, I we wouldn't be where we are now and have this freedom to talk dumb shit like this on Blog Talk Radio if it wasn't for our military nerds, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, I'm just bullshitting around, though. My dad was in the Navy, and, you know, he was during the Cuban Missile Crisis, actually. Plane captain, whatever, you know. So, and he told me, this is really cool, he told me they had no idea what was going on. Nobody told them shit. They were just like, for like 2 weeks, whatever, they were just out there. They had to sleep out on the wings of the planes and shit, out there, you know, surrounding Cuba. They didn't know where they were. They had no idea. You know, they didn't tell them shit. And out there on alert, like, constantly. I mean, that was the closest we came to World War III, you know, ever. And, yeah. So, his stories about that, you know, really fascinated me. But, so anyhow, sorry, I didn't mean to go on a...
No. I appreciate the, appreciate the further analysis of... I'm still caught up on the hand jobs, man. I gotta be honest with you.
Right, you haven't had a good one in a while, huh?
No, I have, sir. Lindsay's wearing a red skirt right now, bro. Dustin Holland.
Hey.
Dustin.
Oh, my gosh. Is there a minor on the phone? Is there a minor on the phone right now?
There is.
Good Lord. I'm talking all this smack.
You're going to get arrested, man.
Oh, shit. But shouldn't he be asleep? What the hell? Dustin, are you there?
Yeah, I think I'm here. Yeah. Are you there?
Oh, shit. Yep, now I'm going to jail.
Yep. And, you know what? Let's give you something to think about on your way to the can, Mr. Brian Puget. Dustin Holland, can you give our chief editor of Tana Coffee Press and Zygote My Coffee something to think about on his way to the slammer, sir?
Like what?
Like
a poem?
Or something? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I can do that. So this is a newer poem. I think I'm going to put it in the final issue of Guerrilla Pamphlets, which everyone should read.
Mm-hmm.
But, so here it is, I guess. The first poem of the new year slides down the wall like rubber brain for months at a time. My cell phone won't talk to me. I spend my days in catatonic high school land looking for Christ, but I think he dropped out already. Malatesta walks up and down bear trap alleyways under bald cap sunrise because Henny Penny is bringing the war home in plastic bags and ultra leather hand warmers. Like in December, when my heart wants to eat the world and no one is looking, and the great stuck up time swindle never even saw it coming.
Oh, damn. You know what? I love the idea of Jesus being a high school dropout, sir. That's, it makes so much sense to me. It really does.
It does. Yeah, it does. I don't think Jesus even went to high school, actually, but.
Well, there was that whole 12-year span that, like, he goes from being, like, what was it, 17 to being 32 or, like, 15-year span or whatever. And it's, like, that whole span is, like, just left out of the Bible. And I'm pretty sure that's where he dropped out of school, started smoking crack and fucking hookers before he became the big man.
Well, you know, and I don't want to sound like some sort of blasphemist or anything, but goddamn, you know, he could turn like water into wine and all that. Man, I wish I had that mutant power, you know?
Mm-hmm. you got to do some serious drugs to have some powers like that, bro. Definitely. And speaking of drugs, I'd like to turn the last moment of the night over to Mr. Nuamba Flamingo, our chief operator at the meth lab. Sir, what do you got for us?
Okay. Well, I got a piece about hookers and kind of having to do with that. It's called Murphy Clamrod and the Tom Brady Transsexual Hooker.
Yeah.
It's about your friend, Murphy Clamrod.
I love that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Here we go. I'll go ahead and read it. I'd been staying in Hong Kong for about 2 weeks in a shoebox-sized hotel room on the outskirts of the city. Every night I'd been having sex with a different hooker. Most of them were women. A few were transvestites. The other night around 12 a.m., there was a loud knock on my hotel door. I answered, and hair curlers and a hotel bathroom, but there was no one there. I went back over to the bed and heard another knock, but this time it seemed to be coming from the window. I swung my head around to see what looked like the poet Murphy Clamrod outside my window, standing on a tightrope that stretched between my hotel's 27th floor to the neighboring equally tall and narrow high-rise building. Murphy was wearing only a plaid Japanese schoolgirl miniskirt and silver high heels. He didn't have a shirt on. And his chest was gorilla hairy, and his beard got maybe the biggest I ever saw. On his head was a raccoon skin Davy Crockett type hat with bushy tail. Facial hair covered most of his face. He was smoking a hand rolled cigarette. I was shocked to see him, not only because he'd somehow shown up to Hong Kong, but also because we'd never met in real life. I only knew him from the internet. Sometimes I thought he wasn't real and that I was imagining him. However, here he was, all 6'4" of him, standing on a tightrope outside my hotel room in Hong Kong, half naked and banging on my 27th floor window. Confused, I tiptoed warily up to the window and slowly opened it. I asked Murphy what the hell was going on and how he found me. Murphy replied in such a thick New England accent that I couldn't figure out what he was saying. When my repeated shrugs of my shoulders clearly indicated to him my lack of understanding, he gestured down towards the ground below and then jumped off the tightrope, plummeting 27 stories and landed with a loud thud face first on a delivery van parked next to the hotel. Aghast, I screamed in horror and quickly got dressed and rode the elevator downstairs. I'd expected to go outside and find a bloody and mangled Murphy Clamrod atop the van, but instead he stood in my hotel lobby unscathed and now wearing football pads, cleats, a helmet, and a Tom Brady Patriots jersey. Before I could say anything, he motioned me to follow him and took off running into the crowded late-night Hong Kong streets. Murphy tore through the streets at a frenetic pace, knocking the far smaller Chinese to the ground, seemingly purposely shoving them over and occasionally stopping to punch or kick one. Whenever he saw a Chinese baby, he'd grab it and punt it like a football. I ran after him, following him into a public bathroom where he slammed a policeman using a urinal into the wall, then picked him up, pushed his bloody face into the basin of the urinal, and finally flung him by his hair and seat of his pants out of the bathroom into the street. Murphy scanned the bathroom for a minute, I guess trying to see if anyone else was there. He checked under each stall, but didn't find a soul. He stared at me for a second, pointed at me, and pointed at a stall door. Opening the stall door, he undid his chin strap and removed his helmet, throwing it angrily to the floor. Waving me over to the stall, I followed him in. He nodded a couple times, yelled out some kind of weird prayer, and flushed the toilet. The toilet beamed us Star Trek style away to a barren, snow-covered landscape. Wherever we got to was freezing cold and the sky dark gray. A burning plastic stench filled the air. There was nothing but icy, snow-capped trees as far as the eye could see, except for a small camper van nearby underneath a large tree that had a maze of crisscrossing crystal branches. Murphy walked backwards, almost moonwalking, into the camper, twirled around, snapped his fingers in the air, and stepped inside. I didn't really want to see what was in the camper, but it was so cold I decided to go in there, if only for warmth. I reasoned that even if he didn't have a heater, I could go check London style and kill Murphy and live inside his gut for a couple days and eat his fat. Not that I wanted to do that, but when you get teleported to a freezing cold place by a poet who shows up outside your 27th floor Hong Kong hotel room at night, you've got to make contingency plans. So I crept cautiously inside, thinking maybe Murphy wanted to kill me and do the same thing. When I got inside the camper, I saw Tom Brady posters covering every inch of the walls. The burning plastic smell grew much stronger, and the insane clown posse played on a boombox in the corner. Scattered about the floor were pieces of paper with feverish poems written in cut-out newspaper letters, ransom note style. The camper wasn't much warmer than outside and didn't have any furniture. There was only a white coffin with the number 12 handwritten all over it, lying in the middle of the floor. The coffin was closed. Thoughts raced through my mind of Murphy waiting inside the coffin with a chainsaw or something, ready to jump out and kill me and eat me. I could just totally picture that motherfucker being a cannibal. I saw a golf club next to the front door of the camper and picked it up and approached the coffin. I kicked the coffin as hard as I could to piss him off and maybe make him burst out of there, hopefully without a chainsaw. But nothing happened other than the lid of the coffin flying off. Golf club cocked back high in the air. I stepped forward, but what I saw inside the coffin shocked me. There was a toilet seat in there with a laptop inside it. The laptop was open, and one of the transvestite hookers I'd fucked last weekend was on webcam. The transvestite wore a Tom Brady Halloween mask and danced and jumped on the bed. Then the webcam feed dissolved. The laptop screen turned blue, and a tiny video player came on showing grainy footage of Tom Brady being sacked by various Giants players in the Super Bowl again and again and again.
Yep. That sounds about like Murphy Clamrod. No class, no coot, kicking babies. Sounds about right. Fuck yeah, dude. I love that piece. And that one actually appears in the new issue of Modus, which is due out very, very soon. I've been assured by Mr. Stephen Perky that that is the best issue of Modus ever. And, I look forward to that. Definitely. Kick-ass reader.
Yeah, oh, thanks, man. Well, it's a true story, too. I mean,
yeah. He
really did do that.
Oh, I know.
And I don't know how he's able to do that kind of shit, like to show up to people's hotel rooms in Hong Kong, but, like, he really is. And it really freaked me out when he jumped down, like, 27 stories, but then was still alive. I don't know how the fuck he does that shit. But,
I knew that shit was true when you were talking about him football punting babies, man. Like, that totally sounds like him. Straight the fuck up.
Oh, dude, you should have seen how far they flew. I mean, really, Murphy Clamrod, he should have been a punter in the NFL. I mean, like, how far he kicked his babies. Like, those motherfuckers flew, like, 70 yards. I mean, seriously, like, that guy, he should have been a punter in the NFL.
Sounds like he should have played for the San Francisco 49ers. That actually inspired me, Nuwamba. I want to read this one last thing, and then we're going to probably end the show here. This is a poem called The Great Fascist Book Fair. And I'll go ahead and read that. You look at me like I'm a murderer, with your Nazi eyes glancing in between the plot against America or some Philip Roth S&M grab-ass game that ultimately ends with Bolaño's general nailed to a cross and his genitals flapping in a Romanian wind until the Russians invade with the forked end of a hammer and a twinkle in their sickle.
a tear in their iron, under the Occidental protective stare, coming from a hole that utility giants left for water lines and undocumented spy reports. I know where the exact runoff from the rain gutters makes noise while slumping against the chicken wire of displaced Austin novelists, drown out the unusually hot summers soaked in triple sec and overpriced donated half bottles of tequila, who preach that California is not the progressive deluge that they make themselves out to be. Everyone looks at you as if you're a pedo when they say, and when they see, a cigarette in your hand. And that's the end of that. I really appreciate you guys coming by the program tonight, man. Dustin Holland, Brian Fugier, and of course, Luambo Flamingo, man. I really appreciate you guys coming by and like making this one kick-ass fucking night, dude. Mad respect to all three of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for putting up with me.
No, thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Dustin, and of course. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Fuck yeah, dude. Good time, man.
Fucking A. I'm going to play this one, this last one for you guys, bro. This is the fucking, this is the end of everything, and I brought a little something for you guys. This is called Dead Mao 5. The name of this song is Raise Your Weapon. You guys have been listening to Draconian Vampire Tunnel is Closed to Repairs. I've been your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Hey, be right back probably next week. Peace.
Go ahead, Nikki. Go ahead, Nikki.
Him.
It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nikki.
ripping through my